Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Oh, yes, a blast from the past. Well, let's find out if Aaron Kennan, co-founder, Chief Executive Officer, Clear Harbor Asset Management, who helps manage $550 million, can see a clear path for profits in today's investing world. Aaron, give me the overall global economic view. What's your take?
Wow, well, that's a big one.
I know. I'm giving you, well, that's, you know, I'm told this is what Paul Brennan, he said, this is what you want. You want to do the global economy, man.
Well, I mean, clearly from a relative standpoint, even within the world of equities, the U.S. seems to be well-positioned here. You're looking at robust employment gains this year relative to last year. The market's not particularly expensive. It seems like the QE conversation is moving in the right direction, and equities are not faltering as we move from a QE policy to a conventional policy. If you move to Europe, QE's just the conversation is clearly started, and QE hasn't really kicked in yet, but we would anticipate that. Extraordinarily low inflation rates, growth stumbling. We think that while that's negative on paper, that QE will serve as a catalyst for equities there. And certainly some of the reforms in China are assisting markets in Southeast Asia and Japan. Doesn't look particularly expensive. We're finally starting to see the yen weaken a little bit, now approaching 103, and that's certainly proven positive over the last several months for the Nikkei. And so we think the glass is half full as it pertains to the global economy.
All right, the glass is half full. And you mentioned Europe. I want you to pay attention there. If they're just getting started with their central bank liquidity programs, don't you want to put all your money in Europe and put the pedal to the metal? Because if what happened in the United States is any indication, the value of financial assets is set to increase.
Well, I think we need to be careful. We need to position size appropriately. You have obviously a multinational, multi-nation sort of interwoven, interconnected, but not completely consistent policy, and you have different political entities bearing down on.
So what does that mean? You want to invest in companies in companies located in countries that are beer drinking countries rather than the wine drinking countries?
Well, certainly Germany has a more consistent policy economically, clearly much more a robust economic profile than the periphery. But we're in Europe. We have allocations to Europe. We think that the banking sector is going to serve as one catalyst for a longer-term robust recovery in equities generally, but that it may be more cautious and even more appropriate to focus on the non-financial space within Europe because we don't know what the future holds at the end of the day for banks, for recapitalization, and how quantitative easing will play in the banking equity segment of that market.
I confess, I wasn't talking about banks when I meant financial assets.
No.
I mean things like stocks and bonds.
Yeah.
You know, that generally speaking, the efforts on the part of central banks to offer vast amounts of liquidity has been pretty positive for stock markets.
Right, and to your point, fixed income as well. If you look at the United States, we have funds rate at zero, we have 10-year treasuries at 2.40, we have inflation at 1.9%. You know, so very negative rates. In Europe, we still have positive rates. So even though on an absolute basis rates are lower in Europe, they're actually potentially more attractive.
Aaron, I'm wondering if you could turn your attention now to Canada, because you mentioned a variety of global economic issues. And Canada, of course, rich in oil and natural resources. Is Canada something that many American investors forget when it comes to investing?
Well, certainly. I mean, I think when you're investing in Canada, for the most part, particularly if you look at the benchmark indices, either small cap or large cap, you're focusing on oil and gas and metals and mining companies. And so it's really it's a country play, but it's also to a great extent a sector play. And of course, there's the financial piece of their benchmark that's somewhat robust as well. But there are companies in Canada, in the oil and gas space in particular, that are extraordinarily attractive, that are in basins that are close to future LNG and current LNG projects, that have pipeline takeaway capacity so that the transportation infrastructure is in place. And so we're often looking in Canada as it pertains to the oil and gas space in particular.
Aaron, I want to ask about behavioral economics for
sure.
Just a moment.
Yeah.
Why do investors buy equities that appear, at least from fundamentals sometimes, to be expensive, and then they sell those securities when they're attractive?
Right. Well, you know, it's something that we have thought about, talked about, and focused on here at the firm, and the behavioral economics component of investing is so important. And, you know, one piece of, I think, the response to your question is the general idea of confirmation bias, which is a human tendency to believe that our judgments are correct and that we give weight to those who embrace those views, and we tend to focus less on any sort of potential challenge to that thesis. And so if you walk through life and walk through the market that way, whether it's politics and listening to a presidential debate or whether it's investing and looking at, for example, the dot-com crisis, or excuse me, not crisis, but bubble, where investors, if they really looked at both sides of the argument, would have realized that the market was extraordinarily expensive, and instead they were at the cocktail party talking to their friends about how wonderful their internet stocks were, and they all sort of agreed that they were going to move higher. And so, you know, our job is to put in place a process, an investment process, to prevent the sort of tendency of all humans, including ourselves here at the firm, to err and to become emotional. And if there's a process in place, we think that there's a lesser chance that we make those mistakes.
Aaron, how do you get out of a bad investment? Quickly, or do you wait for it to turn around?
Well, I mean, sometimes the writing is clearly on the wall in a very rapid way. It could be a news announcement, an earnings announcement. Something structurally has changed at the company level. A management claim that they're going to do something, and they ended up doing another thing. It really varies across different investments. You know, sometimes we will remove positions gradually. Sometimes we'll remove them all at once, and it really varies on what we're looking at, and ultimately it comes down to price. What's our sell target? Have we exceeded the sell target? And if we've exceeded it, have the facts changed so that we should remain in the position, or does that mean that it's hit a sell signal and that we should sell the entire piece?
Aaron, I know that your firm manages assets on behalf of individuals, families, endowments, corporations, retirement plans. Have you ever gotten a call from any one of them questioning something that you did in the portfolio?
Sure. It happens from time to time. I mean, certainly. But part of the work that we do here is making sure that we're working in partnership with our clients so that they really understand the big picture as it pertains to their asset allocation, to the long-term expected return of the portfolio, the expected volatility that not only is embedded in the portfolio as we perceive it to be, but does it reflect their own ability to withstand drawdowns in their total portfolio? So the most important conversations that we're having with clients is over the big picture. It's their life, their financial place. Are we meeting their goals? From time to time, certainly, we'll talk to clients about positions, but from my perspective, that's very rare, and I'm only speaking for myself, but we tend to look at the total portfolio.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because you're, of course, familiar with Peter Lynch and his work at Fidelity. The idea being that if you as an investor notice something or use a service or a product in your own life, investigate it for a possible investment. One example I turn to is Keurig Green Mountain. You've heard of them, right?
Sure.
GMCR.
Right.
The stock is up 55% so far this year. Let's say you were either smart enough or lucky enough to go long Keurig Green Mountain. That doesn't necessarily make you smart about another investment, does it?
No, and in fact, it may alter your perception that your work that you did that put you into that position was so profound that you can reflect that again in another investment. And so it gives you sort of a false sense of security that how you approach investing is perhaps superior than how others approach it. And it can be quite dangerous. You really need to stick to the fundamentals and have a process.
I want to thank you very much for joining me. Aaron Kennan, co-founder, chief executive, Clear Harbor Asset Management. He's got $550 million under management. He's based in New York. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.